Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 92.9 A Game, 8:05 a.m. here on a Tuesday morning. We did just finish with the Top 5 Tuesday. My name is Mike. She's Allie. That's Bo and Dylan back there with a loaner car because he is getting it hooked up. So shout out to him. I also love Jeep Wranglers. I would rock that thing that you're driving right now. So I know that you feel solid riding around that thing, man.
Yeah, felt good yesterday. I was like, I can vibe with this for my little bit of time.
Maybe take the doors off later.
If you ever want to go for a ride, Mike, just let me know. I'll take you for a ride.
appreciate that. We're going to do the wake-up call here in just 1 second. 404-726-0929. If you want to weigh in on Good, Bad, and the Ugly, which we put out earlier in our 7 o'clock segment, you can find that, obviously, probably on our Twitter page, Allie. But you can also find it where you get your podcast and on the Odyssey app. As well, Bo just finished his Top 5 Tuesday. It was Top 5 Worst Halloween Candies. There's one thing that I thought you were going to go with, and you didn't. And I have an issue with this one candy. I don't mind that you didn't go with it, but when you led with, if it's not chocolate, it's probably bad, I was like, dude, he's about to come over the top, and at some point in this five is going to be Twizzlers.
No, I'm a big Twizzler guy.
I'm not big on Twizzlers at Halloween, dude. Licorice, but just period. Like, I'm like, all right, I can hold off on the licorice.
Here's the thing. I like the red Twizzlers. I'm not a fan of the licorice ones that are like just straight up like that they're the black colored. I don't like those. I like
the ones you have to actually unwrap.
Well, I like Twizzlers, like the red ones. I think those are phenomenal. I used to go to the movie theater and eat those. Mm. I'm a big Twizzler guy. Mm. But I don't like the licorice ones. I'm not so much into those. But I'm fine
aren't
with those.
Aren't Twizzlers licorice?
Am I
missing something?
But they're flavored. Like the red ones are strawberry flavored.
Okay, what isn't all licorice flavored?
Yeah, I don't know what the black flavor is, though. I don't know what that
means. Okay, I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
I see where you're going with that. No, I thought for sure you were going to come over the top with Twizzlers. I don't really like Twizzlers at Halloween. I'll eat Twizzlers like you at the movie theater, but you put it in my Halloween basket. I'm like, dude, I'm probably getting to that last.
I tend to only see the red ones these days. Like, I don't ever see the
ones you have to unbraid.
Those are good.
Pull and peel ones.
Yeah, but like I said, I'll eat those otherwise, but I'm not at Halloween. I'm like, bro, I'm going for the tiny Snickers, whatever else, the Milky Way. I'm solid on that. M&M's.
I do think you missed one because I don't know who's keeping the circus peanuts in business. You know,
what's
the orange
peanut?
Puffy. They're like Peeps, but they're peanuts.
Yeah.
Who's keeping those around?
Yeah. Can I tell you, like, I don't ever recall seeing those in my Halloween, like, when I would get done, like your bucket or whatever you use.
Yeah.
Like, because I know what you're talking about, but I never really saw those. These are ones that I would get when I would go home and I would sort through my candy. Whatever, there was a pile that I ate and there was a pile that I hid really from anybody. And then there was a pile that I was like, everybody can have this crap.
If you didn't like Smarties, did you like Nerds?
I mean, I'm hit or miss with Nerds.
Sweet
I'm okay
tarts?
With them.
Where are you at on Sweet Tarts?
I don't like Sweet Tarts.
We need to know about all the
Nerds
stuff.
Allie, your first Halloween in your new house, right?
Yes.
I'm not mistaken. Are you excited about it?
We have our Halloween candy. We do have Tootsie Pops.
I was gonna say. So that was my next thought. It's like I've talked to Grant multiple times. Y'all, he shops at Aldi. Like, what do y'all shop? Like, what's the candy selection like at Aldi?
He got a mixture of stuff. Okay, cool. I don't.
He's always bringing in some random like snacks for us to try out, and
I know.
It's always solid stuff.
I know, yeah. I know. If you want to gain a few pounds, live with the Macaulays.
What was it? Yeah, there's like a sugary
cotton candy trail mix, and then the time before that, he did
had like little chunks of Pop Tart in there. It was solid.
And he did another type of trail mix the time before that.
I don't know, a couple weeks ago.
I can't remember. But I have a question. Has anybody ever truly found out how many licks it takes to get to the center of the tooth?
It's three. The owl told us.
That owl is full of crap because he licks it three times and then takes a chunk out of it.
My children still don't understand the concept of a Tootsie Pop. They really don't. They're like, what am I supposed to do with it? They never make it to the center. I'm like, they're just like, Daddy, take this. I'm like, okay, well.
Blow Pops clear Tootsie Pops, by the way.
So the Twizzlers that are strawberry are just Twizzler Twist strawberry flavored candy. But the Twizzlers that are black it's just black licorice candy. I don't even think they're licorice flavored. I don't even know what that flavor would be, I like the strawberry.
I got a quick answer for you on that before we go to wake up call. So black licorice is usually flavored with anise extract, A-N-I-S-E. Mm-hmm. I don't know what that is, but there you go.
I don't know how you don't know what that is.
Have you ever seen that movie with Jason Bateman called Extract? It's kind of a comedy. It's pretty funny. All right, go ahead.
I just would love to be inside that man's brain for one day and figure out where he comes up with this stuff.
Well, Mila Kunis is in it, too.
Extract? It's good.
Mila Kunis is in it.
Man.
The guy from Silicon Valley, Timothy Miller or whatever his name is. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Neither here nor there.
So it's Ben Affleck.
It is funny. You turn to hit the exit ramp sometimes when I'm still full speed at 75. All right, let's go to the wake-up calls. Dylon, a lot of topics we have definitely cleared today. Let's go over and talk to our buddy John over in Ellenwood. John, what's going on, man? Welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning. Thank you. Couple things. Before I jump into this horrible candy, yesterday Bo was talking about the Giants and the Broncos game, and he said it was 32-0 at one time. It was never 32-0. It got 19-0, then 19-8, then 26-8. Okay. And then Denver came back and took a 30-26 lead. Then the Giants missed the extra point, and then Denver won 33-32.
Appreciate you clearing that up for us.
Somebody threw my kid's a basket last year, Red Hots. And then these little funny looking rectangle thing called Mary Jane.
What? Are there really things like that?
Yeah. Yeah, Mary Jane candy to me has nothing to I mean the only Mary Jane I like is those shoes. But they put Mary Jane name on this candy. And I guess it's supposed to taste like peanut brittle, but it was horrible.
Yeah, I appreciate the phone call, man.
Yeah, those Mary Janes, they look like the little bit of honey candies. It's really old-fashioned looking candy.
I got to be real with you, man. If somebody put something in my kid's basket called Mary Jane, I don't think I'm letting my kid eat it. Have a party later, but you know what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, I'm not, I don't know. I'd have to, like, does that like... I don't know. It just sounds weird. Anyways, I guess we'll talk about that at a different time. Hey, let's go back to the phone lines. Dylan, let's talk to our buddy Todd in Atlanta. Todd, what's going on, man? Welcome to the show.
Morning, guys.
Hey, man.
How y'all doing today?
Doing pretty good.
Bo, how's Pork Chop?
She's phenomenal, Todd. Thanks for asking.
Hey, I missed the good, bad, and the ugly, but for me, the good was the kickoff return.
Okay.
The bad was Zach Robinson.
All right.
And the ugly was 10 men on the field on defense.
Ooh.
And I couldn't agree with you more on candy corn, the worst possible candy ever. My 12-year-old, I come home yesterday from work, and my 12-year-old's on the Xbox with Kirkland Signature peanut butter pretzels and a bag of candy corn. And I'm like, what are you doing, bro?
Okay. Well,
so anyway, thanks for taking the call.
Yeah, appreciate the phone call. I don't know, the first one I'm good with, though, right? The pretzels for the Kirkland brand pretzels?
Yeah,
We're solid on that.
Those are good.
Yeah, the chocolate-covered almonds. I know that everybody likes to...
Those are good.
You know, and sometimes Dylan walks in with the brookies, the brownie cookies.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so solid.
Brookies always hit, man.
Yeah,
love a good brookie.
Brookies always hit.
Hey, if someone's really upset about candy corn being in their Halloween bucket this year, feel free to give it to me. Like, you can just send it my way.
Will do.
Yeah, because I'll take
guarantee
the candy corn. I will eat that candy corn.
House. Yeah. Guarantee that's going to happen at my house. I'll deliver a whole bag of it to you. All right, let's go back to the phone lines. Let's talk to our old buddy Chris from College Park. Chris, what's up, man? Welcome back in.
Hey, what's going on, everybody?
Living the dream, baby.
Fearless leader?
Sir?
All-American.
Hey, man, how's it going?
Allie Mack.
No!
I had to clear my throat, and I'm going to get to it. I'm on some bad and ugly, and I want to interest you in a number, 17, well, two numbers, 17 and 31, which is what Raheem Morris was in his first stint at Tampa Bay. Okay. And, guys, I'm beginning to wonder if that's who he is. We fired a DC last season. We fired a wide receiver coach this season. And I'm tired of our Falcons looking up and down. Now, I know, you know, previous coaches, that's been going on, but we're talking about Raheem. And I'm just wondering if he's just a really great defensive coordinator and the head coaching thing is out of his realm.
Yeah.
Because as Randy Mack says, and I'm going full Randy Mack, football is easy. Coaches make it hard. Hashtag Squid Nation. Hashtag Squid Squad.
I'm glad he brought up these things. I'm gonna point this out really quick. And I think that this is why I haven't been so hard on Raheem Morris. He just said, hey, we fired our defense coordinator. Did that work out for us?
Think so.
I think that's worked out.
Yeah.
We fired our wide receiver coach. Did that work out? Did we go out and beat Buffalo?
Oh, you also went out and beat Washington.
That seems to have worked out for us. And I think that's the reason I'm not so hard on Raheem at this point in the season, where I veer more towards Zach Robinson. Zach Robinson's got to get it together, or guess what? He'll be in line right next to Jimmy Lake. And I think that's the reason why I'm not hard on Raheem right now. Raheem, dude, coaching in the NFL is hard. 99.9% of them get fired. There's no doubt about it. And I'm not saying Raheem is the answer and that Raheem is headed to a Super Bowl title. But he just talked about the 17 and 31 mark that that you had on, headed in here. Has anybody ever looked up Bill Belichick in Cleveland? It's hard to win some places, man. Mm-hmm. Bill Belichick's first season in Cleveland, 6-10. Second season, 7-9. Third season, 7-9. He got to 11-5, and then he went back to 5-11 in his final season in Cleveland.
Bill Belichick's record without Tom Brady.
Exactly. So I get it, man. Some of the Raheem Morris rhetoric, I understand. I think it's too easy to point to the head coach in these situations. Is he taking accountability? That's what I've seen.
Well,
is he making the right moves? That's what I've seen.
This fan base has become one that is blames everyone for past failures.
Careful, I'm part of this fan base.
Well, I am too. As it comes out, but I mean, the reality is this fan base blames everyone. Everybody right now is being blamed for crap that they didn't even do. I mean, I heard an interview on this radio station where Raheem Morris essentially got blamed for crap that happened 30, 40 years ago. It's not Raheem Morris's fault. The franchise has a losing tradition. He's trying, you know, but look, I mean, we can't crown him one week and then say that he's trash the next week. I mean, it's just not how it works.
Hey, if you have spirited thoughts about the Falcons, you can join Sports Radio 92.9 The Game after each Falcons game for the Falcons Flyover. It's your first chance to call in and react after every Falcons game, brought to you by Ticketmaster, the official ticket marketplace of the Atlanta Falcons. Again, that's the Falcons Flyover immediately following every Falcons postgame this season on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Speaking of Raheem, we're going to hear from him next. He spoke with the press yesterday. Gave us a couple injury updates. We'll cover it next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. That seemed, I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcast.
The app. 824 on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is the morning shift. I'm Allie Mack with Mike Johnson, Bo Morgan. Dylan is hanging out behind the glass. This hour is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com. Get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. We do have a mic'd up coming up in a moment. But Raheem Morris, we've been talking about him quite a bit today. He spoke with the media yesterday, had a bit of news, injury reports about some of the Falcons. Apparently, Michael Penix is dealing with a bone bruise. This is what he had to say about it.
It wasn't ankle. It was some form of a bone bruise that I'll get more information for you as we get it. You know, obviously, he came in today, he saw our guys, saw our doctors. There's definitely some limitations. I don't want to sit here and lie to you guys and act like I was really locked in to see what it was. I was seeing how fast he can get back and how well he would be. So I'll get all the stuff to you as we get to Wednesday.
Okay. You know what I mean? Makes sense. He finished the game. I know that they've listed him as day-to-day. It is what it is. I'm not going to speculate on what exactly a bone bruise means because it looked like to me he got kind of rolled up, as did Tyler Allgeier. Tyler Allgeier was lucky that his was not a lot worse than it was. But, you know, I think the conversation then comes in, you know, the Kirk Cousins conversation comes into play. But until until there's something that tells me that Michael Penix is not going to be the quarterback and this is worse than day-to-day, I don't know. I don't know that I feel any differently. I think that he needs practice reps because I think this offense needs to evolve, as we talked about in the good, bad, and the ugly. I think this offense is going through an evolution right now, and the more reps he can get at practice, the better off we're going to be. I don't want him to sit out practice, and hopefully he's not going to do that this week.
I'm not sure a bone bruise is going to keep him out of practice. If you look up the definition of what a bone bruise is, which I know you guys, it's like a contusion, basically. I mean, so he's got a knot, it feels like. It seems like, I feel like he probably took a helmet to the shin or something. You know, that shin bone, which is kind of a long, I consider it a long bone.
Hey, yo, and pause.
Go ahead.
I don't know why that's funny, but
yeah, I don't either.
But that's what it feels like. I remember the play that it happened on, and it came in kind of low on him, right?
Yeah.
And so maybe a face mask, right? And it just kind of put probably hurt pretty badly.
I have to imagine so.
And so I've not been told. So I don't know where foot ankle came from, as it was reported. It's not. It's a bone bruise at some part of his. Body, lower body, and lower leg. But
could be, I mean, like,
I don't think it's going to keep you out.
It could be a bone bruise at the ankle, right?
Right.
Like, yeah. But that's not going to keep you, like, I don't consider that keeping you from playing. I mean, it might be uncomfortable at times, but, you know, just rub some CBD oil on it. Yeah. Some Georgia Hemp Company, you know?
How often are they doing those street drug tests these days, right?
CBD ain't got no THC in it, man. Yeah, I don't know where that misconception comes from.
No, I understand.
Now, an injury that is going to need a little bit more than CBD is a Divine Diablo. Raheem Morris talked about his status as well yesterday.
I know he's going to miss some time. You know, it's probably a fracture, I believe. So he'll miss a little bit of time, but we look forward to getting back at some point this year.
I think this changes everything you're doing, right? I mean, this changes what you're doing structurally on defense. We don't have anybody else that plays middle linebacker that runs a 4-4. We just don't. I mean,
he's just not. We haven't seen him in quite a while.
Who's that?
Troy Anderson.
Yeah, that's a good point. What is the deal with Troy Anderson?
He's still
just rehabbing.
I'm sure. I guess. I don't know that answer.
Raheem Morris has an update on Trey Anderson and Storm Norton, if you all would like to hear it.
Let's do this thing.
Why don't you tell
I say everybody's close, but that means, with that being said, no new news on either. Obviously, if something happened with Storm, I'll let you know. I'll keep you posted, but nothing has happened yet. And nothing with Troy as of yet. You know, both those guys' status remain the same on IR.
Did you just say there is an update on these two?
The news is they're close. There you go.
I think I'm awaiting. I would love a good update on both those guys because I think they're needed.
Storm is listed as he's he's just on the designated return. I don't believe he's been activated yet for it. I will say this: they do have Ronnie Harrison on the practice squad. Ronnie Harrison's not running a 4.4 to my knowledge.
He ain't slow,
but he's exactly because where did Ronnie Harrison play before?
Played safety.
Yes.
Yeah. So, that's a good point. That'd be intriguing. Just in a situational sense. I don't think he takes over for a Bertrand or, you know, whoever else is you know, D'Angelo Malone played a little bit off the ball the other day too, early in the game, played in some pass rush situations. So that would be interesting as well. I don't know. I just think structurally it changes what you do. We covered extensively on this show just a few weeks ago about how you've run this five-man front, this bare front, plugged up the B gaps, and you can do that because Divine Diablo can really play sideline to sideline or play downhill off tackle. He's not there. It's like, I don't know. I don't know what to do there.
I mean, J.D. Bertrand actually ran a faster 40 time at the combine than Ronnie Harrison.
Did he?
Not by much. 4.61 to 4.63. But – I mean, still, that's not. But Ronnie Harrison could. But look, now you're not running straight line. It's the fast twitch stuff, the quickness. You know, how do you move laterally?
Yeah,
that's a lot of it. But and I know Josh Woods is a guy that was
had a pretty good camp.
Yeah, he's very good on special teams. He's a pretty good player on special teams. So it's just. Divine Diablo is different than any. You said it first. He's different.
He changes what you do structurally. Here's the other thing I'd say. While we're throwing names out there, we did talk about Fuller on the way back the other day, right? We hadn't heard that name in a while. I'm curious if maybe there's some three safety sets that you would work with. You know what I mean? We've done that in the past at times. Remember when Richie Grant was kind of in the fold and he'd come in and play kind of a weird nickel spot for a couple of games. I'm not saying that's the answer, but you have to find the ability to have speed on the field along with guys up, you know, that can clog up front. And I think that's going to be a tough task with Divine Diablo not on the field. I think, like I said, they can't continue to do the things they were doing with Divine Diablo with J.D. Bertrand. It didn't work out. And I think the edge guys have to play better. I think Leonard Floyd has to play better. I think Arnold Abakady has to play better. And some of the guys on the perimeter have got to get it done.
Yeah, the biggest way to help J.D. Bertrand is to also play in the interior of that D-line cannot get just dominated up front.
Yeah.
Because it just leaves him susceptible. It really turns you back into where you were last year, where if you get gashed up front and you don't run fit just right, it's out the gates.
Yeah, I agree with that. The rare 8:32 a.m. Mic'd Up edition. And just a reminder, it's brought to you by Buffalo's Cafe. Come wing it family style at one of Buffalo's Cafe's 13 Atlanta locations. Guys, I am going to speak at an alumni event tonight.
Nice.
I have done this in the past. I haven't done it in a while, but I've done this in the past. There's always the weird, like, cocktail hour. I don't ever feel important enough to ever go speak to an alumni chapter, but they just want to hear Nick Saban stories. That's basically all it is. You know, it's like you can give this whole speech about your life and whatever else it may be in the first hand that's going to be raised. Tell us the best Nick Saban story. That's all it really is.
Would you – now, is this a – are you standing up and giving like a speech thing, or is this a Q&A?
No, I'm at a podium, and usually what happens in these kind of events is you give a story, talk about journey, whatever you want to talk about for like 20 or 30 minutes, and then the Q&A follows. It's like, all right, I'll take questions now if anybody wants their thought. And there's always like, hey, what do you think about, you know, Kalen DeBoer?
Right.
I haven't done this in a while, so that'll ought to be very interesting. There's always like a current events kind of thing, and then Nick Saban stories, Scott Cochran stories, whatever you want to call
it. So what are you leading with?
You know, usually when I've done this, it's like why I chose to go to Alabama or what my experience was like. What was it like when Saban was hired? How cool was it to win a national title? Things like that. So I'll probably just deal with that. I mean, you know, it is what it is. I don't, like I said, I'm not entertaining enough to be a keynote speaker at an alumni event, but that's what I'm doing tonight and they want me to come do it. This all leads me to a question I had for you guys. And I know we've only got just a few minutes here, couple seconds. Who's the most famous alumni from your college? Does anybody know? I know that Dylan's got some West Georgia people. I think that he actually missed on a couple because I'm pretty sure Zach Brown went to West Georgia.
I'm so glad you brought that up because I was like, I was looking into it, and yeah, Zach Brown also went to West Georgia.
There you go.
So I got Zach Brown, L. Duncan, Lil Nas X.
There you go. That's a solid list.
That's a solid three right there.
Bo, I'm pretty sure, and you correct me if I'm wrong, I remember looking this up a while back. Didn't Ty Pennington go to Kennesaw State? The HGTV guy who does like commercials too. Pretty sure he's a Kennesaw State guy. I don't know where he's from, but I'm pretty sure he went to Kennesaw State.
I do believe that that's true. I mean, I would just say myself. Actually, Bron Breakker right now.
What did I tell you?
That's exactly what he said.
As soon as I bring this up, Bo's going to say himself.
Pretty sure Bron Breakker went to Kennesaw State.
Okay. Is that the Rex Steiner guy?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I think he did too.
So, yeah, and Ty Pennington did attend Kennesaw State at one point in time.
Allie, you got anything for us?
So, I mean, I've been looking, and look, I went to a liberal arts school. I went to Georgia College. So we've got Flannery O'Connor, who is a wonderful novelist, and then we've got myself, okay?
Okay, there you go.
And my buddy Kyle Berger, who's a sports broadcaster in Tampa.
There you go. How about that? That's what I'm saying. Like, I feel like when I go speak at these events, I'm like, who am I to speak to an alumni chapter? You know what I mean? There's so many different people for an Alabama alumni chapter you'd want to hear from, but
Ty Pennington's kind of let himself go a little bit.
Okay. All right. Well, as have I since I was at the University of Alabama.
The
so there
Nick
you go.
Saban story you do need to tell, which I think is huge, is about your mom showing up at his office.
Oh, that's so crazy, right?
It's so great.
That's all I can think of. We talked about Mike Norvell earlier in his new office. All I could picture was my mom showing up in like a 3,000 square foot office.
See, I tend
like ringing the doorbell at the front of the office.
Love it.
You're already indoors.
See, I tend to like the one where you screamed at Saban.
Yeah, that was not my brightest moment.
No, that's great, man. That shows leadership. You stood up for the rest of your.
He didn't like it very much.
Oh, he did. He did. He did. He liked it.
No, he didn't.
If he didn't like it, you'd have known.
I can concur that he did not like it. Anyways.
All right. We've got on the other side college football writer with On3 Sports, Brett McMurphy, will join us next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Sports.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcast.
Radio 92.9 The Game. Welcome back in to the morning shift. It's Mike, Allie, Bo, Dylan hanging out with you, talking all things Falcons and as well as college football. And we're going to go to the phone lines right now. We're going to welcome in our friend, college football insider with On3 Sports, Mr. Brett McMurphy. Brett, we got a lot of things to cover. A lot of Georgia, a lot of Georgia Tech, some college football playoffs, some coaching rumors. But we have had an intense conversation all morning. And I'm going to remove one of these from the conversation. What is the worst Halloween candy? And I'm going to take candy corn out of the equation. You're not allowed to pick candy corn. What's the worst Halloween candy, Brett?
Well, I don't think anyone would give out black licorice, but I would put that up there. And also, this is way old school. People used to, give out apples. I wasn't a big apple fan either. So yeah,
that's a good call. We had
candy apples are different, but just... Yeah, here's an apple in your bag. No, thanks.
Yeah, no, thank you.
Nice call.
Might as well egg your own house if you're doing that, Brett.
Well, Brett, I saw...
Right, exactly.
I saw Fernando Mendoza and Ty Simpson are co-favorites for the Heisman this year. What could Georgia Tech's QB Haynes King do to get in the running here?
Yeah, well, you know, I hate to give you the secret on kind of figuring out who's going to win the Heisman, so please don't tell anybody, keep it between us. But statistics, I don't think, really matter that much anymore. Everybody puts up such big numbers, no matter what school you're at. So I think for Haynes King, look, if Georgia Tech goes 12-0, including the win against Georgia at the end of the regular season, and gets to the ACC title game, I think he would have a legitimate chance to win it, because, again, don't tell anyone, but it's more about the narrative of these guys than necessarily the stats or anything like that. Certainly, you got to be a great player. You got to be on a great team. Nobody's going to win the Heisman for a team that's, you know, 500 around that. So he's got a good shot. The challenge is to, you know, win all the games, unfortunately, for Georgia Tech, and I think he has a chance. I think Carson Beck was in a great position, you know, get to Miami to their first ACC title, and maybe they can still do that. And he actually was the favorite before last week, and then he had one bad game, through four interceptions, and he shuffles all the way down. So I think Haynes has a legitimate shot. You know, unlike last year, I think this is 1,000% going to go to a quarterback, because there are so many good quarterbacks on teams that are up there in the top five, top 10. But yeah, I mean, certainly he's not one of the top two or three favorites right now. But I think he's, I don't have the entire list in front of me, but I think he's probably down around the 8, 9, 10 favorite. But that, look, that doesn't mean anything. Everyone needs their Heisman moment. Georgia Tech runs the table and they beat Georgia. Certainly that would bulk him up in at least, I would hope, earn him a trip to New York City.
Brett, let's play the what-if game here. And I think Georgia Tech has a great shot of beating Georgia. I think it's going to be a great game here in Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta, just down the street from us. But let's play the what-if game. If Georgia Tech were to lose to Georgia and they finished regular season 11-1, do they have to win the ACC championship the following week to get into the college football playoff?
Man, that's the great unknown. I mean, I've actually had Georgia Tech in my playoff and bowl projections for on three, doing weekly. Yeah, I'm a sicko. But I've had Georgia Tech projected in my college football playoff for the past few weeks, because I do think they get in. In your scenario, I think it depends on, you know, who you're comparing them against. You know, the positives would be, you know, you're 11-2. I think it depends on who you play in the ACC title game. We talked about Miami earlier. If it ends up being Miami, and it's a close game, certainly can't have a blowout similar to SMU last year. SMU won the ACC regular championship. They lost in the title game to Clemson, but it was on a last-second field goal that got them in. People on the committee told me that if SMU would have got blown out in that game, and it was trending that way till SMU rallied late, they probably wouldn't have got in. So I think it depends on how close those losses are, and also something that, you know, you can play it out, but there's no way to know what's going to happen is, you know, who are they being compared against? I mean, right now there's five SEC teams basically in the top 10 of the AP poll, and I think they all deserve to be up there. But they're going to play each other. And how much are they going to beat up on each other? You know, how many two-loss teams is Georgia Tech being compared to? I think certainly what is challenging and could hurt Georgia Tech is, other than Georgia – and whoever they play in the ACC title game, they don't have any ranked opponents on their schedule. And it's the teams that are ranked at the end of the season, not when you played them. So, you know, the credit they get for the Clemson win is not carry as much weight, because Clemson is falling and can't get up. So, Certainly, if they get, if they're 12-1, and I don't care who that one loss is to, I don't see any way they're not in. But when you get the two losses, and now you're bringing in half a dozen teams and all the different schedule strengths and metrics, and quite frankly, it's a beauty contest at that point, then it's basically left up to the hands of the committee.
Brett McMurphy joining us here on the Morning Shift. Brett, you tweeted Saturday, that's a huge, huge win for the Gators in Athens. If you know, you know, and a wink emoji. So since you're telling us all your secrets this morning, what do you know? Where does their coaching search in Gainesville start and end?
So the weird thing is, Florida, they don't need, but I think certainly would make it an easier transition. They need Ole Miss not to make the playoffs. And ironically, on November 15th, Florida plays Ole Miss. So Florida could actually increase the chances of Lane Kiffin to come into Gainesville by beating Lane Kiffin and knocking him out of the playoffs. So, I'm glad you picked up on that. It wasn't too subtle. But Lane Kiffin's the number one target. It's not a secret. I think, nothing against Ole Miss, but I think historically and other factors, resources, et cetera, Florida's a better job than Ole Miss. Where it gets challenging is what if Ole Miss makes the playoffs? They may or may not. We'll find out how they do down the stretch. But if they do make it and, win a couple of games and now you're into January, is Florida going to wait on Kiffin? What kind of assurances would he give Florida? Certainly nobody is going to sign anything while they're at another school saying when the playoffs are over, I'm going to come to your school. Certainly nobody's going to say that publicly. I give Ole Miss credit. Their athletic director come out and said, look, we want to sign Lane to a knee, sign to an extension. But, guys, there's no way that Lane Kiffin's going to sign anything until the season's over. So that thing will be fascinating to watch. But, yeah, I think Florida's top three candidates are Lane Kiffin, Lane Kiffin, Lane Kiffin.
Finishing up here with Brett McMurphy from On3 Sports. Brett, you're talking about the Florida opening. I think there's another couple of, you got Mike Norvell who gets the vote of confidence. I don't know how far that takes him, but what's the next job to come open? I mean, there's talk about Hugh Freeze, Brian Kelly, and there's some other speculation around there.
Yeah. It's hard to say at this point. I mean, it's crazy. The openings we already have right now. And again, I'm not saying all of these would happen, but if things don't break the right way or go wrong, you could see Auburn, you could see Wisconsin. Florida State says they're going to wait to reassess at the end of the year. North Carolina, South Carolina, Kentucky. You mentioned LSU. That's a possibility. Oklahoma won against South Carolina, but if they lose out, how secure is Brent Venables there? I guess I should have just named the schools that possibly won't make changes. It would have been a shorter list. But at this point, I don't necessarily know who's next. But, I just reeled off, 8 or 9 schools, and I think that's how volatile this coaching carousel is going to get. It's going to get crazy. It's going to really get crazy, I think, once we get into November. And then schools maybe are less worried about opening the portal at that point because they will, they'll know in a few weeks that they'll have a new coach in place.
Yeah, good stuff, Brett. Always a pleasure to talk to you, man. That's Brett McMurphy, College Football Insider with On3 Sports. Not a fan of candy corn or apples in the Halloween bag. Thanks so much, Brett.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, I appreciate Brett McMurphy for joining us. This hour has been brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com. Get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. Mike, when are you hitting the road?
Probably sometime just after noon. I'm going to eat some lunch at home. I got to do some laundry and then, getting on the road.
Top 5 road snacks.
Trail mix. Beef jerky.
Beef jerky, yeah.
Bucky's
especially
beef jerky.
If you can get the Bucky's, yeah.
Gardetto's.
Yeah. I'm a trail mix guy. Also, the chili cheese Fritos, solid, no doubt.
Yeah, but
solid.
That's rough for, you got Cheeto hands.
That's all right, man. Look, if you don't already have this going on in your truck, you will soon. Baby wipes on deck at all times. Wet napkins. always around.
Well, safe travels to you, Mike. We'll miss you tomorrow. But that's going to do it us for today. For Mike, Bo, Dylan, and myself, Allie Mack, thanks for being here today. The Steakhouse is coming up next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And don't forget to
make sure you don't give out candy corn this Halloween.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.